Matthew chapter 8. And when he was come down from the mountain, what mountain is this? Back three chapters, chapter 5. It says, seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Sermon on the Mount. These past three chapters, our Lord preaching that powerful, special, recorded Sermon on the Mount. Now it says in chapter 8, verse 1, when he was come down from that mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, lo, there came a leper. What's unusual about this? Well, it's most unusual that a leper would be in the multitude, because they were by law forbidden to contact people. They were contagious. They were unclean. And they were instructed to stay away from people, not come around people. But he came. This leper came. It's unusual that he should be in the multitude, and unusual he would approach the Lord. Actually walk up to him. Approach him. And Mark says he kneeled down before him. And Luke says he fell on his face before the Lord. And here Matthew says he worshipped him. And verse 3, and Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. No one else would not touch a leper. Not under any circumstances. Our Lord reached out his hand and touched him, saying, I will be thou clean. He not only touched him, but he made him clean. No one else would touch him, and no one else could cleanse him. But the Lord touched him and made him clean. Be thou clean. I'm not sure that the number of times that a truth appears in the Scripture determines its importance. But three of the New Testament writers, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, have recorded this incident. It occupies a most prominent, important place in the Scripture, three times. But I will say this, and this is the foundation and purpose of my message. I will say that the manner and attitude in which this man came to Christ, in the attitude and manner in which this man approached the Lord, that's an example to everyone, to all people who would seek his grace or seek his mercy or come to him for whatever reason, to come like this man came. There's a scripture over in Genesis chapter 18 about how Abraham approached the Lord in prayer. This is most interesting. You remember the Lord told Abraham that he was going to destroy Sodom. And Abraham prayed for that city because his nephew Lot lived down there. And verse 23 says, Abraham, Genesis 18:23, Abraham drew near and said, Lord, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? He's interceding for Lot here now, and his family, his daughters and his wife. And peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for 50 righteous people that are there? Would you spare it for 50 people that are righteous? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, Abraham, if I found in Sodom 50 righteous people within the city, I'll spare that place for their sake. Now listen to Abraham. And Abraham answered, Behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. That's where I come. dust and ashes. And down in verse 30, he's still pleading. Listen to verse 30. Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I'll speak again. Down here in verse 32, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I'll speak yet just one more time. Would you let me speak one more time, Lord, without blotting me out? That's the attitude. That's the attitude in which a man approaches the Lord. There's four words in this text I want us to look at for a few moments. Four words will supply the answer how this man approached the Savior so as to be received. When he came down from the mountain, a leper, a diseased, dying leper, approached him, kneeled down, fell on his face. One writer said, kneel down, and another said, worship. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Touched him. I will. I want to find out about this, don't you? How he approached the Lord. Here's the first word in Matthew's account. He worshiped. My friends, God is to be worshiped. The Scripture says, oh, come, let us worship. Let us bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. He's God. Let's worship. It matters not who you are. It matters not what your condition. It matters not your age or the color of your skin or your nationality or your religion. The Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth worship Him. Worship God. They say Christians ought to worship God. Everybody ought to worship God. That's right. Everybody. If you would approach God for any reason, here's where you start. Fall down on your face and worship Him. Old Job, stripped of all that he owned, bereaved of his children, broken in health, deserted by his friends, the Scripture said, fall down on the ground and worship God. And he said, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's the way to approach God. Abraham, this is so touching. Abraham had journeyed 3 days under the silence of heaven, under the silence of God, taking his son to that Mount Moriah where he was supposed to quarter him and burn his body as a sin offering to God. And he came to that mountain, confused, I know, battling his fears and his trials, not knowing the reason for such a command. God had never said another word to him. Not knowing the reason. And he turned to the waiting servants and he said, You men, stay here with the animals. Isaac and I are going up on this mountain and what? Worship God. We're going to worship God. So it doesn't matter how far down you are, how far up you are, how big you are, how small you are, whoever you are. Let all the earth worship Him. Worship God. If you would approach God, fall down and worship. There's no room for argument before the throne. There's no room for argument. There's no room for debate. There's no room for despair either. If you can come this way and worship Him. I can't predict your future, and I don't know what the future may hold for you, but I know who holds the future. And I know He's to be worshipped. And this man, that's the first thing. He kneeled down and he worshipped in his leprosy. It wasn't after his cleansed that he kneeled down and worshipped. It was before. It was when he was helpless, hopeless, dying that he worshipped God. It's when he was on the outside. He had made no contact with Christ. He knew nothing about healing and health. He worshiped God in his state. That's what I'm saying. Worship God. That's where you start. You worship Him. He sends you to hell, worship Him. That's right. If He saves you, worship Him. If He doesn't, He's still God. That's right. He's still to be worshipped. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Worship Him. There's no debate about that. That all the earth worship Him. Here's the second word. Behold, a leper came to him and worshipped him and said, "Lord, Lord." This man recognized the absolute lordship, crown rights of Jesus Christ. Our Lord said to his disciples, "You call me Lord, and you say, well, so I am." Somebody said, "Make Christ your Lord." You don't make Christ your Lord. He is your Lord. He's every man's Lord. He's Lord by God's decree. He's Lord by design. And he's Lord by death. For this cause and this reason, Jesus Christ was crucified, buried, and risen, that he might be Lord of the dead and the living. He's Lord. He's every man's Lord. And this man came to him. He wasn't a member of the church. He wasn't a saved man. He wasn't a cleansed man. He was a leper. He said, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean, because you're Lord. You have all power. You have all authority. You can make me clean. I'm in your hands. You're my Lord." But he wasn't a Christian. But Christ is still his Lord. The Bible knows nothing about a Savior who's not Lord. The Bible knows nothing about a doormat named Jesus. It knows something about one who is Lord of lords and King of kings. It knows something about the one who said, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knows the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him." He said to his disciples before he sent them out to preach, he said, "All authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. All power is in my hands in heaven and earth. Now you go preach the gospel. Because all authority is in my hands." He said in John 17:2, when he was praying to the Father, he said, "Father, you have given me power over all flesh." There's not any flesh that wiggles or rise or moves over which he doesn't have authority. All flesh, bird flesh, not a sparrow falls to the ground without your Father. Not animal flesh. They're his animals. You hear what I was reading Psalm 147. It's his snow. It's his ice. It's his wind. It's his lightning. And you're his creature. We are his creatures. That's what Scripture says. We didn't create ourselves. He did. For his pleasure and for his purpose. All things. Thou hast given me power over all flesh. The hairs of your head are numbered. By whom? The number of your days is set. By whom? The number of your months are with the Lord. You cannot pass. That's the Scripture. You cannot pass. But I'll doubt and I'll run and I'll do this, that, and that. You cannot pass. By taking thought, you cannot add 1 year to your life. That's Scripture. Now, you can make it a better quality life while you hang around here. But he sets your number of days. Nothing left to chance, fate, or luck. Thou hast given me authority over all flesh that I should give eternal life to as many as you gave me. That's what the Lord said. He's Lord. You don't make him Lord. He's declared to be Lord. See, he was made flesh according to the seed of David. He's declared to be the Son of God. You bow to him as your Lord, but he's declared to be Lord. Romans 14, listen. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or whether we die, we're the Lord's. We're his. But to this end, he died on the cross, rose again, and ascended that he might be Lord of those who are dead and those who are alive. He has crown rights. And this man came to him and worshipped him. He didn't get a thing from him. You talk about if the Lord dealt, like Naomi said, the Lord has dealt. What'd she say? The Lord has dealt. Oh, my. The Lord has dealt miserably with me. What? Bitterly. The Lord has dealt bitterly with me. That fellow could say that, couldn't he? Oh, he's a leper. But he worshipped him.
That's what he worshipped him. Called him Lord. Called him Lord. And people can debate. They sit around debating on whether they'll accept Jesus as their personal Savior. What you better be concerned about is whether he'll accept you. That's what you better be concerned about. And they sit around debate whether they're going to let him save them. And they may continue to hold him in such low esteem. But everybody who's lost, everybody who's a spiritual leper, everybody who knows he's a sinner, a helpless, hopeless sinner, recognizes salvation's of the Lord. We recognize that. He gives life. He quickens whom he will. That's right. And he said, Lord, if you will, make me clean. See, this is what the thief on the cross is saying. He said to the other thief, he said, they looked around Christ to the other thief and said, don't you fear God? Seeing we're in the same condemnation as God, this man's God. Don't you fear God? Seeing we're in the same condemnation. What kind of condemnation? Dying on a cross. Same condemnation. And he said, we're getting what we deserve, you and I. We're getting what we deserve. But this man, he's done nothing. He's perfect. He's done nothing amiss. You can't say that about anybody except him. He's done nothing amiss. Lord, you're not going to stay dead. You're coming into the kingdom. That's what he said. Would you think on me, be mindful of me, and remember me? I'm getting what I deserve. I'm not alibiing, excusing. I ought to be hung here. But would you think on me? Today, you'll be with me in paradise. That old publican came to the temple. He wouldn't lift his eyes to heaven. He stood afar off and smote on his breast. God, let thy blood be propitiation for me on the mercy seat. Be merciful. He was a Jew. He knew the only way God can be merciful is through the blood. Be merciful unto me, the sinner. Christ said, that man condemned himself and God justified him. That's just so. And the other man justified himself and God condemned him. He worshipped him. Called him Lord. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord, hear my voice. Depths of despair, sin, and death. Third word. If you will. If you will. This is a subject you get on that agitates and aggravates and troubles most religious people. They're sitting around debating their will, you know. The name of the church is free will. Free will. People talk about free moral agents. Just three things wrong with that. We're not free. Our wills are bound by sin. We do what our wills can do, will do. Our natures, we're bound by sin. We're not moral. And we sure aren't agents. We haven't been assigned any particular standing place, have we? Oh, my. The scripture is clear and plain regarding by whose will we're saved. It's not by ours. It's by his. This man had it right. Because he worshipped. And he said, Lord, if you will. It's not if I will. I'll be willing in the day of your power. Thy people shall be willing in the day of our power. It is given unto us not only to do his will, but to will to do his will. Not only to believe, but the will is given to us. That's right. In Exodus 33, the Lord said to Moses, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will be merciful to whom I will be merciful. John 5:21 says, the Son quickeneth whom he will. As the Father hath power to give life to the dead, the Son quickeneth whom he will. He said to Moses, it's not of him that willeth, it's of God that shows mercy. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, he said, Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul said this, "He saved us." Verse 9, 2 Timothy 1, 9, "He saved us. He called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose, His own will, His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ before the world began. Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth." With His own will He begat us. And did not our Lord say in John 1, "To as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, who were born, not of blood, not of natural genealogy, not of the will of man, not of the will of the flesh, but born of God." Lord, if you will, you can. One hymn writer wrote this. This is staggering. Listen, this applies to me and you too. "I may try, but I can't repent, though I endeavor often. This stony heart just will not relent, till my soul God doth soften. I may try, but I can't love, though pressed by love divine. No argument has the power to move a heart as cold as mine. I may try, but I can't rest in God's most holy will. I know He appoints what's best, but I murmur at it still. Oh, would I but believe, then all would easy be. I should, but this I know, all faith comes from Thee." I'd give the shot if I could. But it's not in us. Dead men don't walk, talk, or give themselves life. God has to. And this leper, knowing his inability, and knowing his unworthiness, and knowing his helplessness, he came to Christ and he said, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." That's so, isn't it? You believe that? I don't only believe it, I know it. It takes the power of God to make the Son of God a man. It takes the power of God to make a man a son of God. Now, you can make him religious. You can change his habits, but you can't change his heart. You can change his ways, but you can't change his will. That's right. You can change his outward walk, but you can't change his inward attitude. You can make him play church, but you can't make him worship God. You can make him get along with his neighbor by promising him a reward, but you can't make him love him. That's right. Only God can do that. Only God can shed abroad his love in the heart of a sinner. So, Lord, if you will, you can make me whole, clean, happy, restful, peaceful, in love with Thee, in love with others, with a broken, renewed heart, if you will. If you will. And I'll show you that in Ephesians chapter 1. Let's look over there. Ephesians chapter 1. I'm saying this is the way. I'm a needy creature. You are too. This is the way to approach God. Let's don't come bringing our works and deeds and vows and promises and these things. Come like this man. Worship him. Where you are. Recognize his lordship. Crown rights. The Lord's delivered everything into the hands of the Son. This is his kingdom now. It's the kingdom of his dear Son. He'll get in it. He'll put in it whom he pleases. "I'll be merciful to whom I will," he said. "I'll be gracious to whom I will. But Lord, will you be merciful to me then, if you will? I'd be awful glad, if you will." Ephesians 1 says this. Verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. And the fourth word used here, Matthew chapter 8, he worshiped the Lord. He recognized the crown rights, lordship, kingship of Christ. He recognized that it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, it's of God that shows mercy. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Make me what? Clean. This man recognized his chief need. This is our chief need. This man had other needs. He needed food, clothing, and shelter. But that's not why he came to the Lord. He wanted to be clean. Because these other things weren't of interest to him. So God made him clean. And that's what we need. This is what David prayed for in Psalm 51. Turn to Psalm 51. Psalm 51, this is what David prayed for, to be clean. To be clean before God. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in His holy presence? He that's clean. He that hath clean hands. Clean hands. Pure heart. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. That's what we need. That's what we need. Down here in Psalm 51, verse 4, against thee, thee only have I sinned, done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. So purge me with hyssop, and I'll be clean. That's what when He washed me, and I'll be whiter than snow. There's a law of first mention in Scripture. If you find out how something is used the first time it's mentioned, like grace, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's what it means all the way through the world. Unmerited favor. Undeserved. The whole world was going to be destroyed, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And this word, hyssop, first time it's used in the Bible, it's used over in Exodus 12. And it tells Moses and the people to slay the lamb, the sacrificial lamb, roast its body, shed its blood, and take hyssop. That's a plant, special plant. Don't you touch the blood. You dip hyssop in the blood and sprinkle it on the doorpost. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Cleansed by the blood. And that's what David's praying way over here. Purge me with hyssop. Sprinkle the blood on me, the blood of Christ. Purify me through the blood. Wash me in the blood. I'll be whiter than snow. Right? Purge me with hyssop, and I'll be whiter than the snow. And this man wants to be clean. And that's what we want. We want to be clean. I'm going to give you five things here that a fellow wrote a long, long time ago. An old writer who posed five questions for those who expressed an interest in the mercy and grace of the Redeemer. Like this man here. And here are the five things that the questions he posed to those who are approaching Christ. You approach Him, worship, recognizing His lordship, recognizing His purpose, His will, for one purpose, to be clean in His sight, to be accepted. Now, here's the five questions. I think you'll appreciate these. Maybe want to write them down. Are my desires for Christ genuine and sincere? A man cannot seek him with a divided heart. He said, "You'll find me when you seek me and search for me with all your heart." So that's the first. This leper, my, that's a real one. I got a big plan. So is it genuine and sincere? Secondly, my desire is for Christ honoring to him. He is God. He doesn't owe me anything. He's not obligated to me. I can't expect to be saved at the expense of his character. I can't belittle my Lord and expect him to show mercy. So I say, "Lord, if you will, you're God. And my salvation and cleansing has got to bring honor to you and glory to you, not to anybody else." Honoring to Christ. Thirdly, are my desires for Christ permanent? Or is this a fit of emotion? Somebody died. I got scared. Or a fit of passion. Or a passing fancy. Or a fad. Are my desires for Christ permanent? Like Jacob said, "I won't let you go till you bless them. I'm here to stay. I won't let you go." And Paul said, "I count all things but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him. Everything else, if it's got to go, it's got to go. But I'm here to call on him, and I'm here to stay till he answers." And fourthly, do my desires for Christ lead me to seek him where he is found? This man came to where Christ was and fell at his feet. Where is Christ? He's in his word. Like I said a while ago, this is where men have always come to the word. He is revealed in the word. That's where Christ is revealed. Christ is in his word. Of his own will begat he us with the word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. How can it hear without a preacher? 1 Peter 1:23 says this, that we're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the word of God. I go where Christ is. I seek him where he is. He's in his word. He's among his people. Ruth said to Naomi, "Where you go, I go. Your people are my people. Your God, my God. And where you die, I die. Where you bury, that's where I lie." Do my desires for Christ lead me to seek him where he's found? Where he is. Don't wait. Don't wait till somebody brings you a special treat or experience. You go where he is. You seek him where he's found. He came down from the mountain, and behold, a leper came to him and kneeled. And fifthly, will my desires for Christ know no rest until I can rest in him? And this man came, and the Lord touched him. "I will be thy clean." And he got up, and I've got to bring this to you here, because I know you read that fourth verse and wondered about it. And Jesus said to him, "Don't tell anybody." You know good and well he's going to tell somebody. He's going to. But now here's the thing. He's on his way to Jerusalem, this leper. Because he's under the law. See, Christ, our Lord, had not died. The ceremonial law was not abolished. And our Lord Jesus Christ was subject to that very same law on our behalf. He said, "I didn't come to destroy the law, I came to fulfill it." So the ceremonial law, according to the law, when a leper was cleansed, when a leper felt like he was clean, one thing he's to do before anything else, before he says anything to anybody or visits anybody or has any contact with anybody, he's supposed to go right to the priest. So the priest can examine him and pronounce him clean And that's what our Lord's saying to him here about, don't you talk to anybody, don't you mess around anywhere. You go to the priest according to the law. According to the law, you go to the priest. And you show yourself, and the priest examines him, and then he's got an offering to make. Look at this, show yourself to the priest, and you offer the gift. Well, brother man, the Lord made him clean. Now, look, God does things in order, I'm telling you, and you're gonna study the Old Testament if you understand the New. Our Lord died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and rose again according to the Scriptures. And this law was given. He came to fulfill it. And he told this man, said, now, you go to the priest. Don't you talk to anybody. You go to the priest, and he'll examine you. He'll pronounce you clean. And you go offer. They had to offer, first of all, an offering on the first day they were cleansed, and another on the eighth day that they were cleansed. They would offer an offering. Now, that's done away with because Christ has fulfilled it all. See? He's our righteousness. Fulfilled. But then he said, show yourself to the priest for a testimony to them. A testimony to them that Christ is the Messiah, that Christ is the Son of God, and Christ is the Son of God with power, and he sent me here to you. So it's clear proof. He does not oppose the law. He does not deny the law. He does not destroy the law. He fulfills the law. You priests ought to know that. See, he's the testimony. The Word of God is beautiful. Don't fall for this stuff going on today. Don't fall for this. Preachers don't even preach the Bible, except they read a verse to prove what they're trying to say. They don't go verse by verse and teach the Word of God. And if you read that next few verses, when this Gentile came to him, whose servant was sick, and the Lord said, I'll come here, and he said, oh, no, I'm not worthy. I'm a Gentile. I'm a Roman. I'm a soldier. I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. You're Lord. You have all authority. You don't have to come down there and touch him. You just say the word. He'll be healed. You just say the word. That's recognizing his Lord. If you will, you can heal him here, there, anywhere. Just say the word. I know what it means to tell somebody to do something. They do it. You can tell a germ, get out, and he gets out. You can tell a sinner, come, he comes. You can tell a dead man, rise, he rises. You're the Lord. The Lord Jesus said, I have run into faith like this among these Jews. He said, you go home, your servant's alive. Can you do that? Can I do that? Can I find, know who he is? Worship him. Lord. I got a lot of needs. If you're willing, you can sure meet them. But I'm not going out here and tell folks it's up to you. God's done all he can do. Now it's up to you. That's no God. That's no hope. That's no help. I'm going to tell them, if you want to seek the Lord, want to be saved or cleansed, hit the dust in his presence. Worship him. Acknowledge who he is. Acknowledge that you're in his hands. He's not in yours. Old Pilate said, ah, don't you know I got the power to crucify you, let you go? He said, you have no power over me at all except it's given you by him. And I say that to everybody in this whole tri-state area. You got no power. He has it all. He is really Lord. I know they got these banners up here. Jesus is Lord. He really is. He really is. Let's sing number 44. Can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Number 44. We'll stand while we sing.
And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me, who caused his pain, for me, who him to death pursued?